Today, one of the things I wanted to do is, this is National Mental Health Awareness Month, so we're going to be talking a little bit about that today. My reading from the scripture is going to come from 1 Samuel 16, verses 14 through 23. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Updated Edition. Hear now these words. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. And Saul's servant said to him, "See now, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord now command the servant who attend you to look for someone who is skillful at playing the lyre. And when the evil spirit from God is upon you, he'll play it, and you'll feel better." So Saul said to his servant, "Provide for me someone who can play well and bring him to me." And one of the young men answered, "I've seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a man of valor, a warrior, prudent in his speech, and a man who's a good presence, and the Lord is with him." So Saul sent the messenger to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." And Jesse took a donkey, loaded it with bread, a skin of wine, a kid, and sent them by his son David to Saul. And David came to Saul and entered his service. And Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my sight." And whenever the evil spirit from God came to Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand, and Saul would be relieved and feel better, and the evil spirit would depart from him. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. I also want to read a brief passage from black lesbian poet, activist, liberation theologian Audre Lorde. It's from an essay entitled Learning from the 60s, and it's found in a book called Sister Outsider. Hear now her words. "In order to be whole, we must recognize the despair oppression plants within each of us. That thin, persistent voice that says our efforts are useless. It will never change. So why bother? Accept it. And we must fight that inserted piece of self-destruction that lives and flourishes like a poison inside of us, unexamined until it makes us turn upon ourselves and each other. But we can put our finger down upon that loathing buried deep within each one of us and see who it encourages us to despise, and we can lessen its potency by the knowledge of our real connectedness arcing across all of our differences." So, ask you for another Sunday. Thank you, sir.
One of the best ways that we can treat ourselves is to recognize how we're using our time. That serves as a good barometer on where we stand with our relationship with God and with each other. "I don't have the time," he said. "I'll stop till I hit there." Now he has the time, he's dead. They say it was his life. She was always on the run. Did her best to get things done. No time left for anyone. Her life falls apart. "What's your time? I think you'll see precisely your priorities. How you use your time is up to you. Time is money, and money's time. Brother, can you spare a dime? How you use your time is up to you." "Do you have the time?" God asked. "Sure," I said, "it's half past. That was not the question asked. It was, could I find the time? Sheepishly, I said I would. Not real sure I truly could. Even though I knew I should. It's an uphill climb. Watch your time, I think you'll see. Precisely your priorities. How you use your time is up to you. If time is money, then money's time. Brother, can you spare a time? How you use your time is up to you.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you. Fantastic. Really appreciate it. So as I mentioned, it is Mental Health Awareness Month. So today I'd like to talk about mental health in the church in a message entitled Love Holds the Umbrella. So every Sunday before worship, I take medication for anxiety. Not because I don't trust it, you know, love will see me through all of this. Not because I'm weak. Not because I need to pray harder. I take it because I have generalized anxiety disorder. And sometimes my brain tells my body that we are in danger even when everything is perfectly fine. And honestly, that can kind of be a strange thing for a minister to admit in front of the congregation, say it out loud, because ministers are supposed to be calm and centered and grounded people, right? Well, y'all know better than that now. Meanwhile, I'm over here trying to remember whether I set up the live streaming the right way and if the sermon will be able to connect with folks, assuming that is if I get through it reasonably well at all. So again, anxiety disorder is a liar, but it can be very convincing. And then alongside of that anxiety, I also live with major depressive disorder. Most of the time, that's managed pretty well at this point. Therapy helps, medication helps, community helps, except sometimes. Sometimes the darkness still sneaks back in. Sometimes it gets heavy, sometimes it gets loud, sometimes it drains the color out of everything. And if we're being honest, I know that I'm not the only person in this room carrying something like that. Some of us are carrying anxiety, some depression, some grief, some trauma, some burnout, some loneliness, some just exhaustion so deep that it feels like it's almost spiritual. And many of us learn, so somewhere along the way, that we're supposed to hide that, especially in church. These churches have not always handled mental health very well. Too often churches treated prayer like it was duct tape. Just sort of slap it on and hope it holds people together. Just pray harder. God won't give you more than you can handle. Everything happens for a reason. You just need a little more faith. You just need a little more faith. But telling someone with clinical depression to cheer up makes about as much sense as telling someone with a broken leg to just walk it off. And yet people hear versions of that all the time. Now don't misunderstand me here. Prayer matters, spirituality matters, community matters. But prayer is not a replacement for therapy. Prayer is not a replacement for medication. Prayer is not a replacement for professional care. Sometimes love shows up through therapists, sometimes through doctors, sometimes through medication. Sometimes through friends who text you exactly the right moment, and sometimes through people who simply refuse to leave you alone in the dark. And honestly, that's part of what makes today's scripture so fascinating to me. Because this story about Saul and David, it feels kind of surprisingly modern. Saul is just overwhelmed. tormented, afraid, emotionally unraveling. And notice what David does not do. David doesn't lecture Saul. David doesn't shame Saul. David doesn't tell Saul, just trust God more. David does not even tell him just to snap out of it. David stays. He sits with them. David plays music. David creates calm. David becomes a steady presence in the middle of the storm. That right there is sacred, y'all. That's sacred. Because sometimes the holiest thing that we can do is simply help somebody survive the next hour. But the older I get, the more convinced I become that one of the greatest spiritual gifts really is presence. Not fixing, not rescuing, not explaining suffering away. Presence. And that's hard. That's hard for a lot of us because we do want solutions, right? We want solutions. We want to fix the people that we love. When someone's hurting, we panic a little. We want to make it stop. We want to hand them advice, strategies, motivational quotes, Bible verses, breathing exercises, essential oils, podcast recommendation, and half a casserole dish before they even finish the first sentence. But most people struggling with anxiety or depression or other mental health issues are not looking for someone to fix them. They're looking for someone who's willing to stay. Years ago in a sermon, an image that I use has stayed with me ever since. When depression or anxiety for me gets really bad, it feels like being trapped outside in a massive storm. And when that's happening, you don't need someone standing safely under a porch yelling advice at you. You don't need someone saying, well, when I get caught in storms, here's what I do. You don't need someone say, you know, storms don't last forever. You don't want to hear someone yelling, have you tried thinking more positively? You need someone willing to walk out into the rain and say, here, let me hold the umbrella. That's what David does for Saul. And honestly, that's what church should be. Not a museum for people who are pretending to be just fine. Everything's fine. An umbrella sharing community. A place where you can tell the truth and people can tell the truth about their lives without any fear of being shamed. A place where I'm struggling. It's not treated like a failure. A place where we stop confusing emotional pain with spiritual weakness. Stop confusing emotional pain with spiritual weakness. Because mental health is not a moral issue. It's also not just an individual issue. We live in a culture that praises exhaustion, monetizes anxiety, rewards overwork, keeps people isolated, turns human beings into productivity machines. And then, when people break under all of that pressure, society blames them for struggling. That's not holiness. That's empire at work. And churches sometimes historically have reinforced it. We praise burnout like it's discipleship. We glorify busyness and confuse exhaustion with faithfulness. Meanwhile, Jesus literally told the disciples, come away and rest. Come away and rest. See, rest is not laziness. Healing is not weakness. Medication is not failure. Therapy is not a lack of faith. Sometimes wisdom looks like finally admitting, I can't carry this by myself anymore. And honestly, some of us need to hear that today. Now, I want us to do, the moment y'all been waiting for, I want us to do something together here. Not because it's going to fix anything. Not even because it'll magically heal somebody. But because sometimes the first crack in isolation is simply discovering that you are not alone. So I want you, we're going to take a minute even less for this. I want you to turn to somebody near you, maybe two or three, you'll have time. and answer this question. What helps you feel less alone when life gets heavy? Why don't you feel less alone when life gets heavy? Not your theology, not your college, not your advice. Just what helps you feel less alone? So take a few minutes and share. It can just be one word. What helps you feel less alone?
That's what I was going to say. I was never a recent player. I have a front board. I can screw all the chords of the new part. Just enough that I can introduce myself. And I realize this is about a plenty of
But my problem is, if my hands are tiny, so I didn't
I'm also a so feel safe when I come. The truth is,
I know, yeah, sometimes
that's okay. So I feel better. So I really like part of my research. All right, about 10 or 15 minutes, I get to wrap it up.
Okay. Let's pull back together here. So here's the sort of beautiful thing. I don't know if you could hear what was going on, how many different answers that there were, but you know, everything from a phone call to music to silence to therapy to walking to friends to medication to prayer to music to laughter to just someone sitting beside you, a dog, a spouse, a support group, meal, a nap, we could all use a nap. Love shows up in a thousand forms. And maybe that's part of the sacred lesson here today. Healing is rarely about one dramatic moment. More often, it's ordinary people showing up for each other over and over and over again. Umbrella bearers. People willing to help carry one another through storms. And maybe that's what resurrection looks like sometimes. Not escaping things entirely, but discovering that even in the middle of the storm, you're not abandoned there. You're not alone, because some people here today are Sauls. Barely holding it together, exhausted, anxious, depressed, burned out, smiling publicly while privately unraveling. And some folks here today are Davids, not fixers, not saviors, umbrella bearers. People willing to sit by someone in the storm and say, you don't have to survive this alone. You don't have to do this alone. Because sometimes love doesn't calm the storm. Sometimes love just holds the umbrella.
Yep. Mark tells me that you folks like to sing. Insane did it well. He said, you like it. And I thought, I'm going to do a song that I think you might be familiar with. And if you do, please sing along with me. In trouble, and you need a helping hand. And I think, oh, nothing's going right. Close your eyes and think of me. Soon I will be there. Lighten up, even the darkest night. Just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. And to spring, summer, or fall, all you gotta do is call, and I'll be there as I will. Friend. Thank you. I have. Above you, she can dive in full of fire. Oh, when she began to blow. Call my name out loud. Soon I'll be knocking at your door. You just call my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. It just brings on the waterfall. All you gotta do is call, and I'll be there, yes I will. How ain't you know if you've got a friend? People can be so cold. I'm gonna
hurt you.
Hurt you. We're good folks if you let them. I'm gonna don't you let them. Just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you gotta do is call, and I'll be there, yes, I will. You got a friend. You've got a friend, ain't it good to know you've got a friend?
As I mentioned, it's Mother's Day today, and you know, I always point out Mother's Day is, you know, there was a time in life that seemed pretty straightforward. The more I think about it, I realize that Mother's Day is a complicated day for a lot of folks. So I want to offer a meditation, a prayer that kind of takes that into consideration and treats it realistically. So hopefully, no matter where you are in terms of your relationship with a mother or a mother figure, you'll hear yourself in this. With that said, I want to ask us to bow our heads together. Today we pause in the complexities of what it means to honor mother. For those whose mothers were safe harbors, steadfast, strong, salt when needed, we give thanks. For those whose mothers were fractured or fraying and gave what they could and still fell short, may compassion meet truth without glossing over the pain. For those who were wounded by the ones who were supposed to protect them, may they find healing in chosen family and courage to mother themselves. For those who mother others, biologically, adoptively, unofficially, quietly, through care, teaching, mentoring, simply showing up again and again, may they also be honored today. For those who long to be mothers and carry that ache daily, may tenderness hold them in the not yet, or the maybe never. For those who choose not to be mothers, or never had the chance, may their worth never be measured by someone else's expectations. For those who grieve today, loss or rupture of absence, may memory and meaning rise gently without demand. And for all of us, trying to hold the beauty of the grief without letting either cancel the other, may we be given enough love to do so. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. May you share that love and happiness with all of those you meet. We ask you for another song. Thanks.
Before I sing, I'd like to share just a brief story that I think illustrates Mark's point. 40 plus years ago, I was going out with a delightful young girl. We were not serious, but we were going in that direction. One morning, while she was getting ready for work, she slipped and fell and cracked her pelvis. Mm-hmm. Had to be in the hospital. On Saturday morning, she was to be let go home. I received a phone call from her father saying, come to the hospital as fast as you can. I got there, and she had a blood clot that went straight to her heart and killed her instantly.
Mm-hmm.
The family was very gracious, even though I was not officially a part of their family. They invited me to be a part of the receiving line at the funeral home. But there's a vast number of people that come walking by who have no idea who I am. A friend of mine, her name was Jenny, came and stood behind me all night long. And when there was a pause in the line, she stepped up and chatted with me. And then when someone was coming, she stepped back. She filled a void in my life that night. It was one of the most spiritual moments that I've ever experienced.
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that.
I think one of the greatest fears that people have is, I can't question God. But that is so very wrong. God invites you to question him. Read the Psalms. David does it all the time. I've got questions for you, God. Do you really hear me? Hear me when I pray? Do you sometimes laugh at the silly things I think about? Would you let me open up? I've got questions for you, God. Have I ever gotten close to seeing who you are? Have you always planned on being such a mystery? Are you truly here for me? I go back and forth on who you are, who I try to be. But you never change, and change is what I am. So it seems we two are opposites, but opposites attract. Maybe that has always been the plan. I've got questions for you. Why do you let hatred and love supposed to be? Help me understand enough to count. Tell me what to say and what to be. I go back and forth on who you are, who I try to be. But you never change and change what I am. So it seems we two are opposites, and opposites attract. Maybe that has always been. I've got questions.